All right, today in this video, we're going to talk about eugenics because of this article that's come out about Jeffrey Epstein and his Zorro Ranch and him wanting to impregnate all kinds of women to spread his DNA far and wide. Let's start here first. This is a article from the Bio Edge. It's called The Bizarre Transhumanist Fantasies of Jeffrey Epstein. They say he was into cryonics, which is an unproven technology for freezing heads or whole bodies. And they say he was also a supporter of transhumanism because he donated $20,000 to the World Transhumanist Association. You see, he does artificial intelligence and he's considered to be a transhumanist, okay? Just keep that in mind because I think a lot of people have this idea of AI like it's about robots, but it's about a lot more than that. Implanting things into humans, cyborgs, and things like that. That's also a use for artificial intelligence. That's part of the way they're fake newsing this up. They're making it seem like Jeffrey Epstein was a total weirdo talking about things that no legitimate scientists are talking about. And that is simply not true. That is how the fake news is using Jeffrey Epstein to hide reality from people. And it's making me very, very angry. One of the things that could have come out, could, should, will, if we try, come out of this Jeffrey Epstein's story is the science, because science has been taken over, like billions and billions of dollars of science money is being hogged up by transhumanists, by people into AI, by people into life extension, by people into editing the genome. And I'm sorry to tell you, all of that is eugenics. So let's look at the New York Times article. Jeffrey Epstein hoped to seed human race with his DNA. So this is what comes to mind when I see something like that. It's like the New York Times has sunk to the level of complete tabloid journalism. Mr. Epstein's vision reflected his long-standing fascination with what has become known as transhumanism, the science of improving the human population through technologies like genetic engineering and artificial intelligence. Critics have likened transhumanism to a modern-day version of eugenics, the discredited field of improving the human race through controlled breeding. That's old-fashioned eugenics. Eugenics has just modernized, like everything. It has come into its own in the 21st century. Here is a website that is live right now. And this website is hosted by Laura Rivard. She has been teaching in the biology department at the University of San Diego for over 10 years. She hopes this website will spark public interest in genetics. This is what is on the website, Introduction to Eugenics. Eugenics is a movement that is aimed at improving the genetic composition of the human race. Historically, eugenicists advocated selective breeding to achieve these goals. Today, we have technologies that make it possible to more directly alter the genetic composition of an individual. Many eugenicists, well, I would almost say all eugenicists, are atheists. Because they can't believe in God. They believe man needs to step in and play God and alter the human being and the human race so that it is more perfect. I mean, remember what this woman said. And if you go to the next page, is eugenics happening today? She says the most significant difference between modern genetic technologies that some view as eugenic and the historical use of eugenics is consent. That's not necessarily true. And we're going to listen to a 4-minute montage of George Church talking about the technology that he helped to invent, CRISPR, which is a gene editing suite that is available to anyone.
What is the revolution we're talking about here? We all know the revolution is CRISPR.
CRISPR. We helped invent that. January 2013 was when it was first published, but the applications are even more shocking than those papers. It can cause a deletion or an insertion or just a change of sequence with the same number of base pairs, and that's what we that's a technology that we happen to demonstrate first. We moved it from bacteria into human, a huge jump. And in January 2013. And
what I do in my lab is we take science fiction, we turn it into science fact.
When we talk about better humans, I just want to put in my brief ethical comment, which is, it doesn't mean that there is a best human. It doesn't even mean that there is a better human, except for a particular task, just like a bicycle is better than a super tanker for certain tasks.
So when we come to enhancements, when we have any new therapy, any new technology, we have watchdog organizations which are actually quite good at evaluating safety and efficacy. For example, the FDA in the United States, EMA in Europe, CFDA in China, and they evaluate that, but they do not, there are certain things they are not tasked to do typically. One of those is equitable access.
The fact is it's a multi-billion dollar business.
They do not consider very, very long-term effects.
So you can bring in DNA from the ancient extinct versions of these animals.
They do not consider cultural conflicts that might arise, conflicts with our accepted way of life or religion.
So basically, there's no organism on the planet that I know of that somebody's tried that doesn't work in now.
Now, what is it that we're really worried about? Sometimes people paint this really scary, nightmarish scenario of people having blonde hair and blue eyes.
And sometimes people ask me, you know, why is everybody so worked up about applying CRISPR to the germline of humans? They're not worked up particularly about applying it to the germline of animals. And plants have been genetically modified for many years now, even though some people will eat it and some people won't. The fact is it's a multi-billion dollar business.
This is my conflict of interest slide. And
sometimes there are delays in technology, you know, like where's my, you know, jetpack or my flying car? And other times it comes faster than we think. With CRISPR, as a way of doing genome engineering, it came out of nowhere. I mean, there was no CRISPR technology in beginning of 2013, and 3 years later, it's everywhere. It's all over the place. In fact, it's a multi-billion dollar business.
So you go back now and you look at this statement that this woman from San Diego University says, that the difference between eugenics of the past and eugenics of the present is consent. We are not giving our consent for anyone to permanently change organisms of this earth. Who's giving their consent for that? Every single person would need to consent to that, because these changes will affect every generation on down the line. And we don't know what the follow-on effects of that sort of a change is. And you heard George Church in that montage also. He said, you know, the FDA and the European regulatory bodies and the Chinese regulatory bodies are, they're good at certain things, but they don't consider long-term effects. That's not even in their purview. They're not even meant to consider that. They're not meant to consider cultural changes that might come along from any of these. And it makes me very angry that the New York Times and CNN and MSNBC and Vanity Fair and you name it, all of the mainstream media and much of the alternate media, they're focusing on this laser pointer of Jeffrey Epstein supposedly wanting to impregnate a bunch of girls in his New Mexico ranch, which may not even be true, when the real story, the big story, is the science that is being funded to the tune of billions and billions and billions of dollars. That is, as George Church says, let's face it, it's a multi-billion dollar a year business. This is hiding right behind the fake news lies. Let's just go back to this New York Times article for a second. They're still talking about the baby ranch, and they say that Epstein got his idea of that based on the repository for germinal choice, which was to be stocked with the sperm of Nobel laureates who wanted to strengthen the human gene pool. The Genius Factory, the curious history of the Nobel Prize sperm bank, I guess it opened in 1980, and it actually did produce 200 babies. And in this Slate article, He said the sperm bank idea had originated in the 30s with Hermann Muller, a Nobel Prize winning geneticist. Muller was a communist who had tried to recruit Joseph Stalin as a donor. Isn't that funny too? Because when you think about eugenics, the word eugenics, everybody's mind goes to Nazis and the Aryan race. I mean, that's why in that video montage I showed you, George Church said,
scary, nightmarish scenario of people having blonde hair and blue eyes.
That's why he said that, because everyone's afraid they hear eugenics and they think of Nazi Germany. Meanwhile, the eugenicists, many of them, I argue, are actually more communist than that. Their idea of eugenics is to make the greater good, is to make a cooperative humanity. And what they really mean by that is a pliable humanity. Again, I take you to the clip from the George Church montage when he says,
it doesn't mean that there is a best human. It doesn't even mean that there is a better human, except for a particular task, just like a bicycle is better than a super tanker for certain tasks.
You see, like in Brave New World, where they have people specifically genetically grown to do certain jobs. That's what these guys seem to be doing. Nowhere when I listened to George Church's speeches, and that was horrible, by the way, he's not a good speaker. Nowhere did I hear him talk about his own work seeking to cure diseases or anything like that. He did talk about other scientists that are doing that, but that's not the purpose of his work. His work is along the lines of the work of Martin Novak. And Martin Novak is, he's an evolutionary biologist and he studies cooperation. Here's just a little bit, a tiny little blurb from him.
The only thing that really evolves are populations, populations of reproducing individuals. So what you need for evolution is populations of reproducing individuals, and then they can undergo these processes. First, mutation, that gets you to selection. So mutation and selection are the fundamental processes of evolution, and what Roger and I wanted to argue is that there's kind of a third pillar for evolution, and this is cooperation. Without cooperation, there's no construction. As soon as you study a cell or a multicellular organism, you are studying a structure that is the consequence of a cooperative process. So what is cooperation? Cooperation is a kind of working together. If you want to have it a little bit more precise, there are like two individuals. Let's think of them as people now. And so a donor pays a cost for a recipient to get a benefit. So one individual pays a cost and the other individual has a benefit.
Check this out. Center for Open Science. They work with the U.S. government. Look at this. Help the U.S. government apply insights from social behavioral scientists to federal programs. And here's the type of thing that they do. Using social norms to decrease energy use in public housing. Increasing flu vaccine uptake among veterans at the New York Harbor VA. How do we manipulate people into doing what the government wants? This is the reality. And I've only given you a couple of scientists there to look at, but there's all kinds of them. I'm telling you, it's huge. You know this. Some of you already know this. We have to point the finger directly at the people who are doing this. Like Jeffrey Epstein, he might have given them money for this, but they're doing it. They are eugenicists. They are trying to improve the human race for the greater good. Doing irreversible things. And who's watching them? Anybody? I'm going to stop talking now. Leave a comment, subscribe, and until next time, peace out.